Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday, just one day away from the NFL draft, a day away from our party up at the Landing. All first round, we will be hanging out up at the Landing in Liberty, and we will be hanging out with Bink and Chris. I did get the invite to go on with Bink already. I told you that was going to happen.
Wow, so you didn't call it, man.
I told you.
That's weird. I have not gotten a single invite from Jay Binkley yet. But
my guess is you will be on there at some point as well. Chris and Bink will be broadcasting the entire night as we're hanging out there, and we'll be giving you a chance to win $610 plus some Chiefs merchandise if you can predict how the first round of the draft is going to go. Just go to 610sports.com. We found out some more details on this yesterday, too. So it's pretty simple. It's going to be, A, is the player getting drafted in the first round, and then what team they're going to, but not the order. So you don't have to correctly pick that the player's going fifth. It is, hey, you think
Caleb Williams to the Bears.
Yes. Which that one we know is 1-1. But
Michael Penix to the Broncos.
Right. Even if it's pick 7 or it's pick 13, whatever, it doesn't matter. So that's how it's done. I saw some of the items that we're going to have. Like there's like a Nick Bolton autographed helmet. It's one of the Chiefs merchandise. There's some other stuff that'll be up for grabs tomorrow night at the Landing. So looking forward to that. Here in about a half hour, we'll also have Matt McMullen, Chiefs senior reporter. I'll ask him about that. Senior reporter.
I'd like to be called a senior host. I've made it long enough now, or at least if I get to like 10 years or something.
Isn't that the morning show? Aren't they senior host? Sorry, yeah. Clang Bob.
Yeah. Damn, they're just calling them old.
I mean, that's what you just said would be what you're describing.
I'm the old person on this show.
Yes.
Now you're not even like you used to be like close in age to the producers. Now Drew's got you beat by 5-6 years.
I know.
We're he didn't even old. Watch the same Nickelodeon shows as you.
No, we're getting old, man. You know?
I think we might have watched this. I don't know.
What Nickelodeon shows did you watch?
Growing up, I mean, SpongeBob was
I watched, but
top tier.
But you were too old.
Rugrats, Cat Dog or whatever. Yeah. Hey Arnold.
See, Hey Arnold, that crosses. That gets me and you tied together.
Hey Arnold, I watched as well.
The Wild Thornberries.
I was too old for that one.
Jimmy Neutron.
Too old for that one.
I know, but I didn't really watch that all. Okay. Dexter's Laboratory. That was Cartoon Network.
That's a good one.
Dexter's Laboratory.
It was that and Johnny Bravo and all those other Cartoon Network.
Yeah. Anyway, good stuff. 913-586.
That's exactly what we're planning on getting into first thing.
7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. So yeah, Matt McMullen's going to join us at 10:30. Also, we'll talk some baseball with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, our weekly visit with him coming up at 12:30. But let's start with the draft because it is happening tomorrow. There's even more rumors and speculation happening and smokescreen stuff, not necessarily with the Chiefs, but towards the top end of the draft. And it got us thinking a little bit more about wide receivers in this draft and just how will the Chiefs and other teams approach that position this year and going forward. When we keep talking about how talented and deep, these wide receiver classes are year after year, at some point that is going to change how teams view them come contract time, right? And come the future markets that we're going to see. And it reminds you of just also how difficult it is to hit on that particular position, right? Because that's what I first noticed once again was the reminder of how challenging it is over the last 20 drafts of data, and this comes from ESPN, by the way, since 2000, basically the hit rate at certain positions based off of who gets that second contract. And at wide receiver, only 27% of all wide receivers drafted from 2000 to 2019, that's when they cut it off, have actually gotten a second contract. That's crazy. It's the worst of any position, by the way.
Which is wild. And I think if you look at some other advanced analytics, it's not quite that bad. But it does give you a little bit of pause at wide receiver. But the other part about this that I think matters more now is I went back through. I went back through and I looked at first-round picks at wide receiver every year. It's getting better. Like, if you want to know the truth, the success rate is just getting better. And I think because the way the league is changing, like, I think that getting a second contract is not going to be the indicator of I made a good selection and it worked. And the reason why I'm saying that is I think as good as these wide receivers are getting, I do not think that teams will hold on to, let's say, Rashee Rice, maybe, level wide receivers, or Tyler Boyd level wide receivers, or T. Higgins in Drew's case. Yeah, you might pick up the fifth year option. They might hover around you a little while. Would you call T. Higgins, and T. Higgins was like just outside the first, but the same point. Would you call T. Higgins a bust?
Absolutely not.
Would you say that pick didn't work? No, that'd be crazy. Yeah. And he's not going to get a second contract with his team. I think those 900 to 1,100 yard wide receivers just very simply aren't going to get second contracts with teams anymore because of how many good wide receivers are available. Look at last year, for instance, right? Jackson Smith and Jigba, we don't know. Quentin Johnson, in the early going for a year, we don't really know either, but kind of looks like a busty maybe type wide receiver. Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison, you wouldn't complain about. The year before that, Drake London, you'd still take. Garrett Wilson, you'd still take. Chris Olave, you'd still take. Jameson Williams and Jahan Dotson, you'd probably like a little more time on, but not totally out of the question. Year before that, Chase Waddle, Devontae Smith, Tony's kind of a bust. And then Rashad Bateman, where at least you'd be like, well, again, quality NFL wide receiver, not good enough to justify keeping around. I think that's where that hit rate becomes interesting. But I can't ignore the fact that according to that, over the last 20 years, you are twice as likely to hold on to an offensive tackle long term than you are wide receiver. Now, I think some of that is because it's hard to find quality offensive linemen. I'll be honest. I think sometimes you overpay. I think quarterback is far too high on this. They got a second contract. Teams give bad second contracts to quarterbacks all the time.
Yeah, this criteria, the chart that Adam Schefter put out, again, it is based off of the last 20 drafts from a 2000 to 2019 span. Center, 92% hit rate. You draft a center and a 92, basically first-round picks.
Because if you spend a first-round pick on a center, he better be there a second time.
Absolutely. Offensive tackle, as you said, 59%. So it drops off from 92 to 59%. Guard, 50%. Then you get in kind of the middle tier. Linebackers, 48% of the time you draft a first-round linebacker from 2000 to 2019, they got a second contract. Quarterback, as you said, is a little misleading, 46%. Sometimes teams drafted a quarterback and, you know, he's serviceable and they end up still giving a second contract. Doesn't mean that it's an elite quarterback or anything like that. Edge rusher, 44% of the time. Do you hit on it? Defensive tackle, 40%. And then corners, 38%, the same as running back. Knowing the positions we've discussed for the Chiefs that we think that are in play at 32. Wide receiver, offensive tackle.
I think defensive line.
And maybe defensive line. I know there's some corner stuff. But based off of that, wide receiver, 27% hit rate. Defensive lineman, edge and defensive tackle, by the way, you combine them, it's an 84% hit rate, but it's 40% defensive tackle, 44% edge, and then offensive tackle 59% of the time. But the challenging thing for this year's draft, if you believe some of the reports coming out this morning from guys like Dan Brugler and others that are, you know, making some phone calls around the league, it sounds like everybody is trying to recognize that or trying to trade up because they recognize that the offensive tackle market is top heavy. While there's a ton of offensive linemen that could get drafted,
it drops off after the first five.
Yeah, not just drops off after Joe Alt, who's clearly the best offensive lineman, I think, in the draft, but after that. And that's where it's tricky, whereas I deep down do believe the Chiefs would like to draft a tackle. But can they do that at 32? I'm getting less and less, I think it's less and less likely, less and less confident that the Chiefs can just stay at 32 and actually draft the tackle.
Which means, because of how high they'd have to go up if all these other teams are looking to trade up, it's maybe not realistic. Look, I'll be honest with you. What Nate was talking about yesterday, going up to 9 to get Joe Walt, the reason why moves like that, or let's just say that they love the guy at 17, aren't crazy is because the Chiefs are going to be picking, at worst, what, 28th over the next 5 years? Or at best, 28th? And at worst, 32nd for like the 14th consecutive time? They're never going to be picking at a position where there's going to be a just no doubter. Oh, man, there are so many tackles in this draft. You could get one at 32 is a sentence that has never been said about the draft ever. So you're always going to have to, if you want to get the guy, you're going to have to trade up, or you're just going to have to take the same risks you've been taking. You have to hope you get a quality starting left tackle like a Brandon Albert in the third round of the draft. You're going to have to hope that you find these little nuggets here, or you're going to like start guys like Wanya, or you're going to have to go out there and pay in free agency like they tried to do with Trent Williams, like when they traded for Orlando Brown Jr. I do think if you're giving up, some part of me, though, is if you're giving up 2 first-round picks, let's say to get Alt, I'd rather be looking for the team that would just give me the guy who I know is good. Like, I want the cheap contract, but I also would rather just, like, know I'm trading for a top 5 left tackle. Does that make sense?
I hear you.
If I'm giving up 2 first-round picks, I kind of just want to know.
I hear you, but I think in the case of Joe Alt, and we're talking about a left tackle, I think most people are pretty confident. Like, he's not that he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but that, oh, he's going to be in this league as a left tackle for 15 years.
It does feel like there's less Robert Galleries than there are the other versions of that. Well, that's a name
I haven't heard in a long time.
When I think tackle bust high in the draft, I don't know, what can I say? I think Robert Gallery.
It is interesting because
he still played like 8 years in the league or something. Probably.
Like, I don't know. It might have been last week where we said, well, you know, if the Chiefs are going to trade up, what are they more likely to trade it for? Is it a wide receiver or an offensive lineman? And the consensus, I think, was between us was, oh, it's definitely a wide receiver. They wouldn't do it for an offensive line. But it seems like now, if they want the O-lineman, they would have to trade up to get it. Instead of just stay pat at 32, it's very interesting how that conversation has kind of shifted.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's exactly right. I mean, it seems like you would have to have a trade up now to get what looks like the potential starting left tackles. Now, you know, even the kid out of BYU, Kinsley, you know, the thought at one point was, oh, he'll for sure be there. Tyler Guyton, he'll for sure be there at 32. If you're going to actually believe the reporting this morning, and I understand some of this is still smokescreen stuff, it would make it seem like teams are trading up even for those guys.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's that's one report, but who was it who said don't listen to anything about the draft until it's 24 hours?
Inside of 12 hours was Bill Belichick.
Oh, Belichick, 12 hours. Okay, we're not quite there, but close.
Yeah, Kingsley Suamataia, sorry, that was who I was thinking. But him and Tyler Guyton are the two names that I think are the most realistic if they're going to get a tackle in the first round.
And Guyton's been like in the early 20s, you know, in some of these mocks.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've seen all those tackles up closer to the teens than you'd like. Like the ones where you're like, oh, that guy's going to be available at 40. And you're like, not so much. Again, that's why wide receiver is so interesting to me at 32, but I don't fear. Like, I don't think it's a bad first-round pick if you get T. Higgins at 32. Does that make sense? Like, if all I get is 5 years of play out of him, over the course of 5 years, he averages 925 yards, and then they walk on him. I don't think they screwed up their fifth-round pick. I think they simply got a productive player for 5 years at the wide receiver position and then decided that the cost-benefit analysis of available wide receivers to them at that price aren't worth it. I'll just go draft another guy at that range. And I think the NFL, if wide receivers keep hitting at this rate, are going to keep doing it that way. Because that thing you pointed out, the 2019 to 2023, if you look at the wide receivers from 2020 on, I would say 70% are capable NFL wide receiver, or better than that, that you would be happy to have on your team. It's like a 30% bust rate where you're like, yeah, I don't want Coleman, right? Outside of that range. But I mean, most of the guys, you'd be like, yeah, it'd be fine. Well,
I think especially too, Cody, for what you're saying is for what you're drafting to at that position, it's not like the Chiefs are drafting a number one wide receiver and they have to, not that they, you know, don't hit on it or whatever, but you're drafting for a third wide receiver spot potentially to be a number two. There's not as much risk necessarily of you having to get the best guy that's available right away. Like, you can afford to maybe wait until the second round and you still get a guy that fits exactly what you need and not have to take a guy at 32 for that. There's no pressure to get that position filled, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, it all depends on we're all basing this off stuff that we don't have the insight on based off of what is Brett Veach's draft board look like. Because I'm with you. Like, yeah, you can wait till the second round, but we don't know there's the name of three wide receivers, let's say, that they just think they love. Yeah. And we all, in our mind, whoever those three are, we all assume maybe they're guys that are going to go in the first round. But maybe there's actually a guy they project as a second rounder and they feel great about. Like they feel unbelievable about. And so either they take him at 32 or like, wow, I thought you could have got him in the second round. Why did they take him at 32?
They love him.
Or it's the opposite, which is no, all along they feel good about multiple wide receivers that they project as second rounders, and that's where you end up taking a left tackle at 32, or you take a defensive lineman at 32, or you take a corner or trade back. I think that is very much in play too.
And you're like, all these teams already got wide receivers, and we love like eight of these guys. It's fine.
Well, especially if you held a gun to their head and said you had to pick at 32, they might go defensive line or corner. But I do think that if the offensive linemen are gone, it behooves them if they move from 32 to 41 and they happen to bag an extra third round pick, that gives them four picks in the top three rounds. You can still get a decent you don't miss out on a tackle because everybody had already gone off the board, where you can still get a wide receiver and maybe a guard, somebody in that third round spot where you can have the rotational piece and feel comfortable enough, at least maybe going into the season with that.
We'll talk some more draft in about 15 minutes because Matt McMullen from the Chiefs is going to join us in studio. We'll get his perspective on how he sees this draft going for the Chiefs. Maybe a couple names he's dug deep. I know him and Mitch Holthus have binders full of prospects that they go through and take a look at.
Not the binders from a few years ago.
I know, yeah.
The second you said binders full of people.
I didn't do that on purpose, I swear, but I did.
I can't believe you'd make this show political.
As soon as I said that, like, binders full.
I can see the look on your face like you had.
I knew that was going to
happen. Regretted immediately saying that. Let's talk about the Royals last night. It's a new squad. Old Royals in the last 3 years, I can promise you right now, they lose that game. I'm just going to say it. The last 3 years with the Royals teams, 1,000% lose that game. They had runners on first and second in the first, didn't score, had two runners on in the third, didn't score. They come around to the fifth, they're down 3-0. They get an okay start at a walk, a pretty good one, but he can't go deep into the game because the pitch count gets out of control, and you're like, all right, they've already lost 3 in a row. I guess let's make it 4 in a row and 5 out of 6 and just mail this one in. Vladimir Guerrero opens the door for one little half second, and they take advantage. Bobby Wood Jr. comes through. And the way I look at that game is exactly that. I'm not saying they're all fixed. They're winning 95 games this year, whatever they're on pace for. But that is the type of game I can promise you for 4 consecutive years. Not only were they going to lose it, I knew they were going to lose it. Because that's just the situation and that they've been in a number of years. I felt that felt like one of the more satisfying wins of the entire year, if I'm being honest. You were on a losing streak, good team, mediocre start, bullpen comes through, timely hitting comes through. The bullpen was great. Held through the whole thing and you win. It was just like, yeah, you needed that one. That's a good confidence win.
No, there's a lot of good things that came from that. We had mentioned the winning streak versus losing streak thing. It sounds like a no-brainer, but in the past, sometimes, it doesn't mean one won't happen this year, but in the past, that 3-gamer becomes a 6 or 7-gamer. And we said maybe we thought this starting pitching is good enough that you're not going to have many long losing streaks this year. Now, it wasn't like they got great starting pitching last night. They got good enough. Michael Walker was fine, but they didn't even get 5 innings from the starting
four
pitcher.
4 1/3 or 4 2/3. I think
something like that. So they don't even 5 innings from their starter. It's not like they scored 8 runs. They scored 3. They got great defense. That, to me, was the key last night. In addition to what I love from Q, clearly the plan they put out before the game was knowing that MacArthur was going to pitch 2 innings, 8th and 9th inning last night. He was fantastic. And that was big, I think, long-term for this team to see him be able to go out and get 6 outs for you. But the defense was incredible last night, really. I mean, all the way around, great defense. Vinny, I don't know how he just would ever get up from doing the splits like that. That's unbelievable.
Do you realize how good a defense Vinny's been playing?
There's some metrics that back it up in a big way.
He's like the top 3 first baseman defensively this year.
He's been really good. And for a guy his size, like he's a big dude, to just go out in the splits to help out Bobby on that big time out that they needed to complete the double play. Like, that's impressive, man. That's really, really impressive. I thought the defense was key last night as much as anything.
I think that's one thing that I've come to really appreciate about this team just 24 games into the year is that they're not going to lose games because of the mistakes that cost them once, especially games last year. They are one of the best defensive teams in the league. Statistically, they're still one of the best base running teams in the league. I know that contact play to home is making you think they aren't, because they are now 0-for-6 on actually successfully scoring the run. I'll give credit to Royals Review. I was very stop doing the contact play. I hate it. Their success rate on it seems so low. There's an advanced metric that suggests the benefit of it because of exactly what happened after. So the guy tried to score from third, he didn't. But because they threw home, someone ended up at second who scored anyway. So the number would tell you you're not less likely to get the run based on the number of outs available. Ergo, the risk is worth the reward. Look, I still think you can do time and place, and you don't have to be, we only do it this way 100% of the time. No questions asked. I think there's more variance or black and white, just like there isn't going for it on fourth downs. So I'd like a little more wiggle room than that. But no, I mean, it's just, it was a much needed win. And then when I look across the guys to come through, Mikel Garcia had 2 hits. He's now hitting 300 since his song, by the way. Mikel's back. We're good.
Cody keeps extending out the sample size, by the way.
We're good. Since the song, he's hitting 300.
Sending out, expanding 368
on base. What do you mean?
You're expanding out the sample size.
I don't care. Since the song, he's been good. That's all that matters. Since the song, Vinny's been good.
Yes.
Actually, his hitting streak ended last night. He had an 11-game hitting streak. Real shame. He had an 11-game hitting streak since the song, but it died last night. But if you, like, so I pulled up the numbers, the metrics on Bobby Witt Jr., and, like, you look through, you're like, my God, he's on pace for, like, 52 doubles and 27 homers. So, like, the homers and doubles or steals seem a little low. Only 37 stolen bases and 27 homers on pace. 52 doubles, like, 20 damn triples. He's hitting 316 with a 380. I mean, he's been incredible. And it's shortstop. I think it's always important to point out.
Yeah.
Those numbers offensively at shortstop go a whole other way. I had not realized. You guys, as of this morning, Bobby Witt Jr. is he's the second favorite to win MVP. He is barely, and I do mean barely, behind Juan Soto at plus 380. He this morning on DraftKings was plus 400 to win the MVP. The next closest plus 900. So pretty good gap between Soto and Bobby Witt Jr. and Trout in the field. And you're like, whoo, Bobby Witt Jr., second favorite to win the MVP right now? That's nuts.
That's going to be something to watch the entire season now. Based off of how the team is doing, I think will play a huge role. Unlike the Cy Young Award, I do think the team's success, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how your team's doing, is factored in by voters for the MVP award. And so if this team is able to be competitive in this divisional race all year long, knowing that the Yankees are likely going to, I mean, they're off to a great start, and the Yankees are likely going to be at the top of the AL East or one of the teams at the top, you can't have a team, you know, the Royals can't be sitting 10 games under 500 at any point in September towards the end of the year, and hopefully that's not the case anyway.
Sure, and have him win it.
Yeah, I don't believe voters will give him that. We can disagree with the process, but to me, it's very, if you're looking at that, one, of course, Bobby's got to continue to play at the level he's playing. He's been awesome. But the team's success will factor into voters' minds on the MVP. Like, right now, he has the second best odds. If the Royals were 10 games under 500 right now, he probably would. Now, you can argue
odds
and say, hey, the reason why the Royals are playing as well as they are is because they have a guy that's an MVP candidate, which is a very fair rebuttal to that. But that'll be something that's going to be fun to watch all year. Matt Quatrero has now the best odds to win manager of the year. He was like third or fourth a week or so ago. He's just ahead of AJ Hinch of the Tigers, who the Royals play this weekend. So, when you have a team that won 56 games the year before and a team right now that's playing good baseball and you've got Bobby playing at the level that he is, you're going to have some guys that are going to suddenly be in the mix for some awards. And it's so freaking early, I know that, but it's going to be fun to watch.
I wonder why baseball hasn't adjusted the MVP to a non-winning team like they did Cy Young. Because it's the same concept. Yeah. It's like, you in baseball can only control so much, you know? And look, they've given it to Shohei Ohtani, and they weren't, like, a great team, but they weren't a stinker either. And he was also pitching at the same time. Makes it a little easier to give the guy the award. Is it still? I mean, unless it's changed, I think Andre Dawson is the only, like, guy to win MVP who was on a losing team. Isn't that right? If I remember that stat right. So it's like, God, I mean, it's just so much work. But you gotta find a way. If you keep Bobby going at this rate, just as long as two of the other guys are hitting, Mikel, Vinny, MJ, Salvi, it doesn't matter. Salvi continues to rake too, so.
Royals will continue the series against the Blue Jays tonight. Alec Marsh, he's actually 3-0 on the season with a 3.22 ERA. He'll go up against Rodriguez for the Blue Jays this evening at Kauffman Stadium. We'll talk more baseball later on. Up next, we get right back into the draft. Matt McMullen from the Chiefs, he joins us in studio. What insight does he have? He'll share with us at pick 32 next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here, just getting started on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold coming up in 30 minutes. We'll talk about the rest of the AFC West and what could happen, specifically with the Raiders and Broncos. Both teams could be going with a quarterback. Could both teams actually end up trading up in the draft? We'll get to that a little bit later on, but let's focus back in on the Chiefs in particular. We got Matt McMullen, Chiefs senior reporter. We enjoyed that. What does that entail? Senior reporter, do you feel older? I don't know if you've always had the title senior reporter.
Yeah, as opposed to the junior reporter.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Like when I turn 30, all of a sudden it's like you're now the senior reporter. The funny thing is, I don't really get into titles, but the reality is, if you do what I do, if you ever want to get promoted, there's no like coordinator and manager of team reporting or director of team reporting. So you have to make up a title. So that's all it is. But yeah, I'm the senior team reporter at 31. We'll see what happens in 10 years.
You got to add another. What's the title? What do you add to the title after this? You should have like czar, Demetrius? You know,
I don't know.
Add like, you got to add some cool titles to it. You know, there's a lot of choices.
I'll work on it. For now, I'm just an elderly team reporter. So
yeah. God, 31 starting to feel elderly. Elderly. You're in between, I guess. You're like the second youngest here. Drew still got you beat.
There we go.
Drew still hadn't even hit that 30th birthday yet, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was at the Royals game last night, and seeing Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hitting, I'm like, man, I just feel so
They old. Got a bunch of – I mean, Bo Bichette's on the team. I mean, they got a bunch of former big leaguers, kids on this team.
Kevin Biggio, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, Biggio's kid in there.
Yeah.
Their entire – that's actually – in major, like, it's happening more in football now. Like, it started to occur more in football, like Marvin Harrison Jr. getting ready to get drafted, or Frank Gore Jr. They're all going to be
Jerry
drafted
Rice's son.
Jerry Rice's. So, like, a whole slew. In baseball, that's been the thing for a while. Turns out, just drafting the kids of former professional big leaguers, pretty successful model. Royals, it's working with Bobby Witt Jr.
But all on one team. I mean, that's what's crazy. The Blue Jays is unique because it's just, you know, there's three or four of these guys that all happen to be on the same team as well. You mentioned the Royals game, though. You brought your dog. It was Bark at the Park. We offered. You were the invite was out. We didn't know if you were going to bring the dog. What was the name of your Pip?
Pippin is her
Pippin.
Name.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were going to bring the dog into the studio.
I just don't know if Pip is ready for the big time. Mm. You know,
Former coworker Pete Sweeney brought his dog in once, and he didn't even tell us he was doing it.
Yeah, he put the picture on Twitter. See, Pete's dog is probably much more better behaved than mine. Pip, I was pretty amazed at how well she did at the game. But if she was here, she'd be bolting around the office, like she'd be eating papers. It'd be a disaster.
I'm saying my dog would be barking eventually. How does that work? I've never done the Bark at the Park, though,
out at
the K. Do they not play? Like, I don't know if there weren't any, like, multiple home runs or anything, but do they not do fireworks because the dogs are out and stuff?
Yeah, so it's all designed to make sure the dogs are okay and happy and everything. It's a hilarious experience. It really is, because you have to go in a certain gate, and all the dogs are in one section. So you're just surrounded by people with their dogs. And, like, you know, I've been to 1,000 baseball games, but it's so weird to see just people walking their dogs into the game, and then someone has like a 70-pound bulldog on their lap while they're eating nachos. It just all feels so counterintuitive, but it's hilarious.
Like, this feels like a weird. And then they always announce the attendance. They're like, "All right, we had 17,000 of the K tonight and 482 dogs."
Well, you have to buy a ticket for your dog. You have to.
Like a full price ticket?
I think it's a little bit discounted, but you buy a ticket and a seat for your dog. Like when we walked in, we had to scan 3 tickets.
Oh, man.
It's so funny.
All right, fair enough.
And the best part is last year we went, it was the first time I ever went, they had a giveaway where it was like a little dog hat. So we put the hat on her this time, and at first she didn't want to wear it, but after a while she did. And a dog wearing a hat is just also the funniest thing ever.
Before we get to the Chiefs draft, I do have to ask you one more thing. There has been a person on the text line for 3 consecutive months demanding this show go on the road to the zoo.
Okay.
I know your wife works for the zoo. Can we make this happen?
Absolutely. I'm trying to bring Kansas City institutions together. All right. So 100%. If you
we're
want to
a Kansas
the zoo,
City institution,
you sure are.
Or just like the station, like 610.
I think that we've been asked that. I don't know. Like you said, it's probably once a week at least. There's a text that comes in. So we want to, you know, put us by
we
the
just
penguins.
Do from the new aquarium.
Yeah.
Penguins are good.
There's a bunch of things you could do. The aquarium is incredible. If you guys haven't been out there,
haven't seen it yet.
It's really, really cool. And it's awesome because it's not like a standalone thing that you have to pay for. Like if you go to the zoo, you can just go in the aquarium. So
I think
awesome.
Now they're so busy, you got to like get a reservation, but
it was for a while. But if you go like especially on a weekday, you can just walk in there. Nice. Maybe you have to wait like 5 minutes if it's really busy, but it's not too bad. So it's worth it. So I think
just put a good
show. Yeah,
I spoke to your wife once, not knowing it was your wife, when this show was trying to get a monkey named after George Karloftis. We wanted to name one Furious George, and her response was great. She just said, "Look, I brought it up in a meeting, but they have names and they're kind of fond of them. So we can't really just rename them for you." Which makes sense, in fairness. But doing a show there, that's different. They probably let us do that.
I think so. I'll put out some feelers at dinner tonight.
We'll follow back up with that. We got Matt McMullen, chief senior reporter, joining us in studio. So what's your feel right now? Everybody's trying to speculate on what's going on. Chiefs have pick 32. Just in general, what direction and kind of what feel do you think the Chiefs are going in tomorrow night?
Well, it's exciting because I think the way this draft shapes up is if you look at where it's deep, which is wide receiver, obviously, but also maybe tackle. Maybe defensive tackle, maybe corner. Those are all areas the Chiefs maybe could address. So I don't think it's a situation where the Chiefs have to take a certain position, and if there's a run on that position in the early 20s, they're in trouble. I think it's a situation where they can let the board fall to them, and there's going to be a really good player at 32 if they want to stay there. And I don't know what position it's going to be at, but it's going to be a situation where this team will get better because of it. And in the past, maybe, I think about like 2021, you got to fix the offensive line. Right. And you got to hope that maybe there's a guy right there at 31. And if there isn't, you're in trouble. I don't feel that way this year. I think that this is a team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls. They obviously can get better. There's areas that can improve. But wherever they decide to go, I think it's going to be a player that maybe we all thought would be taken at 25 or in the 20s. And all of a sudden they're there at 32. Because every year there's like 50 guys all of a sudden who are first-round picks,
sure.
Right? And there's going to be, I think, a really good player at 32. And who knows? If someone slides into the mid-20s that no one expected, maybe they try to move up. But it's going to be interesting for sure.
When you look at the position, like if they just had their pick of the litter, they're like, all right, we get to choose our position to fall in the draft. It's tackle, though, right?
Well, Brett Veach talked about that the other day, talking about the value of this draft. And in his mind, obviously at receiver, it's very deep. And it goes into the second and the third round. Maybe even at corner as well. But offensive tackle is the area where it's really great early and maybe tapers off a bit. So in my mind, and this is just my opinion, if one of those top 5 offensive tackles fell into the mid-20s.
It was like 22 and they were still sitting there?
I think you have to think about it. And it was a situation with Trent McDuffie a couple years ago. That's a player that they had on their board in the top 12, and he slides all the way down to 21. You make a move for him. But it takes different factors. You have to have a team that's willing to work with you. And also, you have to be able to have the ammo to get up there. If one of those 5 tackles fell into the early 20s, wouldn't surprise me at all if they did that. But if not, you, again, don't have to force it.
Who are the 5, I guess? So Joe Alt's 1. He'll be nowhere near their draft pick. He'll be in the top 10. Are, like, Tyler Guyton, are those types in the top 5, the guys that we think are, or Sua Mataiye, are those the ones that we're expecting that maybe will be for sure in the first round now versus maybe for a while they were projected somewhere between 20 and...
Yeah.
Well, J.C. Latham is one of those guys that will likely be gone. You have the kid from Washington will be gone.
Yeah.
I'm blanking now on the other guys. But I would say Sua Mataiye will likely be there. Amarius Mims is a player that likely could be there from Georgia. Tyler Guyton could be there in the late 20s. or the late 30s. So it's possible that those guys could be available. It's just a matter of who they like.
Oh, Fuaga, that's one of the
Fuaga,
guys.
Yeah.
The guy from Penn State, too, Fashanu or whatever.
Oh, Fashanu, yeah, yeah.
Is
yeah,
another
yeah.
tackle that, again, it's so funny, Matt. We were talking about this, yep. that we all say, like, oh, that guy's going to go. And we're basing that off of
groupthink.
A lot of groupthink, right? Yeah. And we're sitting there on tomorrow night, and it's pick 20, and a guy that everybody said was supposed to go, you know, the top 15 is still on the board. And we're like, what the hell is everybody doing? And he ends up falling to the second round. I mean, there was a tackle last year. Was it DeJuan Jones, I think?
Yep, from Ohio State.
Ohio State. Yep. And everybody, and I thought the Chiefs maybe were going to take him at 32. He ends up falling to like the third round. You know, so we always have to remember the group thing when it comes to some of these positions and some of these players. But is there a player that I know you and Mitch have, like, you know, just all this information on these prospects, basically. I know Mitch actually does have a binder, I feel like, of all these prospects. We were joking about that last segment. But is there a player that you've kind of, I guess, fallen in love with a little bit?
Well, shout out to Austin Woodard, first of all. He's the one that makes that binder for Mitch every single year. He does that in his free time, and he makes Mitch this Chiefs-focused draft guide. It's amazing. It's like 1,000 pages, and Austin will be with us all weekend.
I've seen it. It's just, yeah.
It's amazing. So shout out to you, Austin. You're the best. For me, there's a couple players. So I still really like Adonai Mitchell from Texas, and I know there's been like some weird stuff out there over the last like couple weeks, but I just...
Like his diabetes is going to prevent him from being a good wide receiver?
I don't buy any of that. And right. I watch him on the field, and I see a player with really good size, excellent speed, and production, and a player that could fit right away in the Chiefs offense. So Adonai Mitchell, if he was there, I'd be super interested. A player that I don't know if he's getting much first-round buzz, but I think he could go in the first round, is Xavier Leggett from South Carolina.
That's my guy.
He's a player I've just fallen in love with over the last several weeks just because I get he had the 1 year of production. I almost look at that as a positive because you think about college football nowadays with like NIL and transfer rules. So many players like him, if they're not getting the ball as a sophomore or a junior, they're going to transfer and go somewhere else. But he kind of waited his turn. He developed as a player in the same place for years, and then it paid off with a monster season last year. And again, the size and speed. I mean, being 220 pounds, running like a 4.39, one drop last year. I watch him on slants break away from corners and have like 60, 70-yard touchdown receptions. I mean, that's the kind of thing this offense could use, an explosive player. So he'd make a lot of sense to me.
I think it speaks to how deep the draft is that he's available at 32. Like, normally you'd be like, well, only 1 year of production. Like, size and speed-wise, I mean, those guys usually go way higher.
Yeah, the one thing I wonder with him is, just does he fall? Like, can you get him, like, if you were to trade back, you trade back and you still are able to get him in the second round? I don't know. I just wonder. He also seems like the, hey, you didn't get DK Metcalf, all those, you know, all the talk about that for many, many years. Like,
take another freakazoid.
It seems like, are you going to pass up another maybe freak type of athlete if he's there again at 32?
I imagine if teams could go back, they probably would.
Well,
Brett Veach, DK Metcalf higher.
There was an article, I can't remember from where, but Brett Veach basically kind of admitted a little bit, one of his few regrets in the draft, because he's been hitting on all these picks here recently, but was like most teams did, which was pass on DK Metcalf.
Well, I think a lot of us, because like that draft is even different than this one, because I think there were maybe like five wide receivers who went before DK Metcalf because the drafts weren't as deep as they are now. There might be, by the time you get to Leggett, there'll be like seven guys who get drafted before him, or six guys. What's the over-under? 6.5?
For wide receivers
in the first round? So, I mean, there might be 7 or 8 wide receivers taken before he goes, and you're like, at 6 foot, what is he, 6'1", 2"?
He's 6'1", 221 pounds.
I think college was like 6'6", so we got to like pay attention to, like, you know. They're always a little off, but.
Whenever I do my draft stuff, it's funny how much the information differs wherever you look. So my favorite draft guide is Dane Brugler from The Athletic.
Yeah.
That's like the Bible for me during this time of year.
I think most people in the industry just respect that he's put it together in a detailed way that everyone can follow.
And how deep he goes. I mean, he'll have guys on there that won't even make it to rookie mini camps in his draft guide. So it's amazing. But he'll have their actual height and weight. Like if you go to like South Carolina's website, you're right. It's going to say he's like 6'4".
He's 6'1", 221 officially though.
Yeah. Exactly. But
just can't help himself.
He's a guy that I like a lot. And you're right that I think in previous years, you're going to have a player like Leggett maybe going 20th overall. But now if he's like the 8th best receiver in the draft, all of a sudden he might be available in the second round. Troy Franklin's another guy that is more one-dimensional in terms of what he can do right now. He's kind of just like a burner, like a go route kind of guy at this moment. You can find a use for that player, but I think he goes easily in the first round in previous years. But because it's so deep at receiver this year, he could be available in the second round too.
Yeah, Franklin in the second round, I'd be more on board with. I don't really have much interest at 32. You mentioned like none of these, other than, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., none of these guys don't have flaws, right? Like, there's a reason why someone might be available at 32. There's obviously some question about them. But Franklin, he doesn't. We joke about ball, you know, deep ball tracking, basically, and being able to high point the football and being able to judge that and how it's something maybe the team has struggled with recently. That's one of the knocks on Franklin. That's what scares me about him a little bit more than some of the other particular wide receivers. Looking at just the teams around 32 with Kansas City, you mentioned this, Matt, that, you know, maybe a trade-up scenario. Brett Veach acknowledged it. I think it's a real thing, which is his team's not willing to work with the Chiefs, though. And does that make this even more challenging for them to go up if there's a wide receiver, if there's a tackle that they like?
Well, I think you mentioned that there's like a premium to be paid if you want to trade with like Buffalo or Cincinnati or Baltimore.
It sounded like
he was
more willing to pay it than in previous years.
But I also understand why those teams do it. I look back to the Orlando Brown Jr. trade, and around the league, everyone's like, why are you helping them? You know, and I understand it. There are a series of NFC teams kind of in the early 20s that I think would probably be more willing to trade with the Chiefs because, like, why not? But it'll be interesting to see. These are one of those things where Brett kind of explained it. They go through all of their checks and everything like today and yesterday, and they're calling teams or trying to figure out just like, are you at all willing to move off of this? Is your phone working? Do we have the right number? Stuff like that. And we'll see how it transpires. But I really think it depends just how the board falls. And every year, weird stuff happens where all of a sudden players that we all kind of thought maybe would be available at 32 are going at 15 and 16, but that bumps other guys down. So we'll see just how it plays out. But we know Brett is always eager and ready to make a move if it makes sense, but you got to make sure you have the right trade partner.
Are the phones working at One Arrowhead Drive? Have you verified that all the phones are properly working?
I'll confirm the phones are working.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Who's making I was seeing the other day, I was thinking about the draft because Vinny was trying to make a pitch. Did you see? Vinny wants to make a pick for the Jets.
Oh, yeah. And he's in Detroit.
Because he's going to be in Detroit for a game. Mm-hmm. He's like, come on, just let me, you know, like, I'll be around because they play night games. Like, I'll be around on Friday. Just let me make a third round pick.
Have the Jets first pick at number 10 overall, and Vinny Pasquantino goes on stage. It'd be epic.
Look, I don't think they'll let him do the first pick, but, you know, second or third round at that point is probably fine. They love the celebrity pickers now for mm-hmm. the draft. It makes a lot of sense. One thing we had talked about yesterday is Brett Veach's propensity to take guys off of his top 30 list. Pretty common that Brett Veach finds somebody. And sometimes it's the first round guy, and sometimes it's the seventh round or undrafted. Are there guys off of that list? Because I know you pay attention the way we do. Are there guys off that top 30 list that you're like, I could see why Brett Veach is interested in him? Because one thing that stood out to me was running back. They visited a lot of them, and I don't think that they're going to shy away from that position.
The top 30 visits are always difficult to decipher because we don't know exactly why they're visiting. So sometimes it's just a matter of they didn't have enough time at the combine to speak with them. And the combine is like a feeding frenzy of you're trying to talk to as many guys as you can, and you only have during the informal interviews like 10 minutes with them. If you want more information, you didn't
sometimes
have a chance
you said it's
to
just
really
like
connect.
A like just to check out an E or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And also the guys that aren't at the combine, you have a chance to, like you said, get medical work done when you have them come in. So a lot of times those top 30 visit guys are guys that maybe they're not going to draft, but they'll be like priority free agents that they'll bring in later on. And they have just a more comprehensive idea of who they are. But I try to figure out like a narrative and a pattern with the top 30s. I can never really figure it out. Every year it seems
like, I just
know
he takes some.
Yeah, there's like three or four from the top 40s that end up being Chiefs. But I think it's for a variety of reasons. It's not just because these are the only guys they're interested in. I think it's a matter of we want to figure out more information on these guys.
Matt McMullen, Chiefs senior team reporter, joining us in studio. I'm going to keep mentioning senior reporter.
Not the junior reporter.
No, senior reporter for
were
the Chiefs.
Were you ever junior reporter or just reporter?
I was never the junior reporter. Just the team reporter. And then all of a sudden, I turned 30. Like I said, and
they
senior
bumped you
team
up, man.
Yeah.
Hey, that works. Have you paid much attention to any of the local kids? Because we know last year the Chiefs had 32 draft Felix and Udike Uzama. There's a couple local kids from KU, K-State, and Missouri that some could be drafted very high, including Robinson out of Mizzou, Cody Schrader maybe a little bit later on. Is there anybody out of that group that stands out that perhaps could be a good fit for the Chiefs?
Sure. Darius Robinson would make a lot of sense. Yeah. So being 285 pounds, but the flexibility to play on the edge and as a defensive tackle, that sounds like a Steve Spagnuolo defensive lineman, doesn't it? With how he loves moving
when he was like
around.
A third round guy when he came out, and he's already definitely in the first round range.
He's one of those players that I don't know where he's going to go. You'll see projections where he goes maybe in the 40s or 50s, but also in the 20s. Yeah. So it's a matter of if a team falls in love with them, but he can make a lot of sense. And also Ben Sennett from K-State is a player I like a lot at tight end. Obviously, Brock Bowers would be like a pipe dream. He'd be incredible in Kansas City, but he's probably going top 12. But Ben Sinnott is a player that is really interesting because of what he was able to do at K-State. Awesome story. He was like a walk-on at K-State, ended up being one of the greatest players in Wildcat history. But his ability to force missed tackles, to be a playmaker after the catch, he'd make a lot of sense here too.
Trying to think about, would Brock Bowers, Nate Taylor brought this up with us yesterday. If he fell to 15, he said he's one of the guys he hears could fall. Let's say he's just sitting there at 15. Would you be willing to trade up for him?
Depends how much it costs, right? I mean, trading for 15 is a lot.
Let's just say standard draft chart trade value. You don't have to overpay. You got to give up the numbers, which I think would be a second. I looked this up. A second this year's first and a second and a third round. Or 2 seconds. A second this year, a second next year.
I'd think about it. The tricky thing with this is, like, obviously, because I grew up a Chiefs fan, right? The Chiefs fan part of my brain is like, yes, do it right away.
That sounds fun.
But also, one of the reasons the Chiefs have been able to sustain all the success beyond just Mahomes and Kelsey and Chris Jones is finding players later in the draft. In a seventh-round pick, if you trade it, doesn't sound like a big deal. But if you say we're trading Isaiah Pacheco,
or
all
Jalen
of a sudden,
Watson.
Yeah, so the Chiefs' ability to find these contributors later in the draft, I think, makes me a bit more weary of trading up than maybe it would in the past.
Yeah, I mean, we all know you give Brett Veach a couple more opportunities to make some picks, especially in the middle rounds or whatever. That has turned out very well. That's how you extend out the dynasty. That was the point I made yesterday. I'm 100% with you. That's where, like, definitely there was a hypothetical last week from NFL.com that said the Chiefs would trade to 9 or 10 and get Brock Bowers.
I said it was for Odunze, I'd do it.
Yeah, I just... to trade up for a tight end, it would probably have to be 15th or later for me to even get on board with trading up. As much as I know everybody's excited about Bowers, if he's suddenly there at 18 or 19, then I start getting a little antsy and I start seeing what's up.
It's so hard with the Chiefs because you'd be like, I want to see Mahomes with elite weapons. I have seen that. He had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in the same offense, and Sammy Watkins was like the third guy. It worked pretty good. It turns out that was a fun offense. One of the most, you know, like in the year before, they were one of the single greatest offenses in NFL history. I know what it looks like. It's fun and I like it. But I also understand that they can win a multitude of ways. With Mahomes, the truth is, it always comes back to this one draft objective to me about giving up the picks. Because I don't disagree with you. Because they don't, like we said, like you shouldn't just dismiss this draft. Like, whatever, they're picking at 32. They got 5 picks, it probably won't matter. No, they, without taking Rashee Rice last year in the second round, they don't win the Super Bowl. The year before, they needed at least 3 of those players in order to win the Super Bowl. By simply just having a bad draft, they don't win the Super Bowl in either of those years. Or if they just miss on the most important one in Rice last year, they don't win it. But I also just understand that because of Mahomes, they can win 1,000 different ways. If I trade up to 9 and take Brock Bowers, they can definitely win that way. If you trade up to 9, they take Joe Alt. They can definitely win that way. If they just stay at 32 and take a defensive lineman or a corner, they probably still win the Super Bowl that way. It's hard for me to think that, like, everything's on the line with them sometimes. That's all.
I totally agree. And I just think, particularly if you look at the 2022 draft, this run of back-to-back titles doesn't happen with almost every player from that 2022 draft. They're not on the team. I mean, think about all the startups you got out of that draft, all the players that contributed and have been major, major playmakers for this team during this run. You got to – obviously, the first round gets all the hype, but you have to remember that Brett Veach and his front office that we think is the best in the NFL, they really make their money on day 2 and day 3.
Before we let you go, Matt, if I were to set the over-under at 8.5 trades in the first round, were you taking the over or the under? Because I think we go into the draft and we always like, oh, there's going to be a ton of trades. We know there's going to be some. Do you buy, like Pete Schrager just tweeted out recently, he's hearing there could be as many 10 trades in the first round. What are you taking, over or under 8.5?
That seems like a lot. I'd go less than 8 personally. I think there'll be a handful, but...
I could see it's like 5 or 6 easily, though.
Yeah, but
is there a Vegas line on that?
I'm sure. I just don't have them in front of me. But yeah, I'm sure there is.
That's a ton of trades. Like, I don't know. And I think especially you'll maybe see some movement at the top, but as you go, most teams are willing just to stay pat and pick where they are because of the premium it costs. And we'll see how the board falls, but 8 seems like a ton to me.
What I've learned about the draft is that there's so many teams who will just be like, they've already got their player picked down. They're like, nope, better make it worth it. Make it worth it. And they'll just call the bluff. If they don't come with one extra pick or the slight premium that they're asking for, they'll just make their selection. Whatever, it's fine. Like, they're willing to just wait out the bluff. They don't eventually be like, okay, fine, we'll just take what you were offering. They normally just make their pick, don't they?
This is also making me think about the movie Draft Day, though. You guys have seen Draft Day, right? That
one of the most realistic movies ever.
I mean, so...
Bang on, exactly what it looks like.
I enjoy Draft Day as, like, mindless popcorn entertainment, but watching it... So I'm a big fan of Moneyball, the movie.
Okay,
and what's interesting about Moneyball is it's pretty realistic in terms, because it's a true story. But I remember one time I was watching draft day with somebody, I can't remember who it was, and they're like, is this what it's really like inside the facility? I'm like, no, not at all. Like,
absolutely not.
Yeah, in no way. Like, this is fun, mindless entertainment, but in no way is this realistic. But you're right. I think that teams have an idea of the players that will be there. They have an idea of the direction they'd like to go. And if they can move off of their pick and maybe acquire more picks, they're into the idea. But I think most teams, unless they're trying to trade up for a quarterback or like a generational player they think is going to change everything for them, I think most teams are down to stand pat unless something crazy happens.
Matt McMullen, chief senior reporter, kind enough to join us in studio. Busy day ahead for you, man. Thanks for coming in studio.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Excited to be done with speculation season here and actually do this thing for real tomorrow.
That's right. All right, coming up next, we got some new news in the NFL. A big contract was just handed out to a wide receiver. We'll tell you who and how much it is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.